Activities. Please take your Bibles and turn to Hosea 13. I thought maybe tonight I could entitle my message Pasteurization, but maybe not. You know, what pasture are you feeding in? What pasture are you feeding in? You know, today there's a lot of emphasis on buying meat that has been raised on pasture. You know, grass-fed meat, whether it's, you know, they're, you know, chickens, whether it's sheep, whether it's cows, you know, there's an emphasis on making sure, you know, buy grass-fed because, you know, what that animal eats is going to determine the makeup of the structure of the muscles and the nutrients that are found in it. And so, you know, buy animals that have eaten the right food. Well, as Christians, it's important that we as well feed on the right pasture. And God is the only one that can determine the right pasture that we need. You know, what pasture are you feeding on? In Hosea chapter 13, verse 5, we'll read verses 5 through 8. It says, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion, and the wild beast shall tear them. Here, Israel comes in confrontation with the Lord, with God. Notice how many times the word I appears. Verse 5, it appears once. All right, verse number 7, it appears twice. Verse number 8, again, it appears twice. God is confronting the children of Israel. He reminds them of their past. Verse number 5, it says, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. In other words, God provided for their needs. He was the only one that could deliver them from the troubles that they were facing. And when they were lacking water, God was the only one that could provide for them. And we need to be reminded tonight that God is the only one that can deliver us from trouble. He is the only one that can deliver us from the problems that we are facing. Here you have a couple million people traversing through the desert, and they need water. You know, you think of the teen camp out, and the water that we go through for, you know, maybe 60, 70, 80 people. There's a lot of trips that are made to get water, to bring water out for that many people. And those are the guys that have been on water duty have a little understanding of all the water that the team you go through on the team camp. How many have ever done water duty in the team camp? Yeah, there's a lot of water, a lot of trips. You know, you can maybe hear Mrs. Roberts, you know, where's the water? You know, we're running out of water. It's a necessary detail. Well, imagine if there were 2 million people going on the teen camp out. Yeah, we're going to have to really upgrade the upgrade fund, right? I mean, imagine how much water that takes to supply 2 million people approximately. Approximately 2 million people with water. God was the only one that could meet that need that they had in their lives. And God met it. You know, you think of when there was bitter water. God changed it at Marah so that they could drink the water. There was the rock, and God miraculously provided as Moses struck the rock, and the water came out. Then the next time when God told him to speak to the rock, but Moses struck the rock. But again, God provided for them in the desert. God is the only one that can provide for us in the time of trouble. If you could take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 20. Psalm 20, verse 1, David recognized that the Lord was the one that needed to help him in the time of trouble. There's a number of passages in the Psalms that deal with the issue of trouble. Psalm 20, verse 1, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion." Psalm 27, verse 5, we'll look at a few of these references. "For in the time of trouble, he shall" what? "He shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." God is the only one that can deliver us from trouble. Psalm 32, verse 7. Says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Selah. Notice where the psalmist placed his life. He placed it close to God so that he could have the refuge that he needed in the time of trouble. And as the children of Israel were traversing through the desert, God was the only one that could supply the need that they had. Psalm 37, verse 39 says, But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in Him. They trust in Him. God delivered the children of Israel, and God can deliver you if you will put your faith, you will put your trust, you will put your confidence in Him, that He has the power to deliver. And God, here in the book of Hosea, is reminding the people that He was the one that brought them through those times in the desert. It was only He was the only one that could supply their need. Notice Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." He's there, He's ready. He's waiting to help us. But the children of Israel didn't want to go to Him. They had their false gods that they wanted to go to. And God had to remind them that He was their only Savior. Verse 2, "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. You know, you think of the tribulation period, when these types of things are going to be happening. You know, when people are going to be running to the mountains, they're going to be in great fear. Why? Because God is not their help in the time of trouble. But as believers, we do not need to fear. Why? If you have put your faith and your confidence in God, because He is a very present help in trouble. Psalm 60, verses 11 through 12. It says, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. You know, sometimes we're going through an issue in our lives. Maybe we need money. And we think, boy, you know, if I knew that person a little better, I wouldn't have any problems in the area of finances. You know, but the fact is, the Bible says, vain is the help of man. You know, we know the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And God can help us. He can work in ways that we can't work. It says, verse 12, through God we shall do valiantly, for He it is that shall tread down our enemies. You know, the children of Israel were about ready to be trampled down by their enemies because no longer was God their God. They had turned to false gods. You know, trouble, though, ought to be an opportunity for us to turn to God. In Psalm 107, verses 4 through 9, Psalm 107, verse 4, it says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses, and He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. You know, trouble ought to be an opportunity in our lives for us to turn to the Lord. And as He leads us through that troubling situation, it creates what? Well, an opportunity for us to praise Him for His goodness, for His providing for us in that time of need. And afterwards, it should remind us that God is the only one that can save us in the time of trouble. And it should be a motivating factor for us to stay close to His side. You know, God here is seeking to get the children of Israel's attention. Hey, I am the one that brought thee through the wilderness. I'm your God from the land of Egypt. There is no Savior beside me. God is the only one that can deliver us from trouble. He is the only one that has the ability to supply our need. You know, do we recognize that? You know, sometimes we think, well, I think this person over here can supply our needs, so we go to them. But the fact is, the only way they would have even any ability to supply our need is because maybe the Lord blessed them and allowed them to have something. Ultimately, it's God is the only one that can supply our need. Notice verses 13 of the same chapter. It says, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Notice that, none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. You know, what is one of the problems of the Israelites here in the book of Hosea? Is that they thought there were other people that could help them. You know, and they turned to Egypt, they turned to Assyria, thinking they could get help from them. But there was no other one that could help them besides God. And what they needed to do was what it is saying here in verse 12. They fell down and there was none to help. Verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Do we recognize tonight God is the only one that can deliver us from trouble? You know, we need to stay in God's pastures. We need to realize He is the only one that can provide us with the sustenance to carry us through the circumstances that we are facing in life. Notice the next verse. It says, according to their pasture, so were they filled. Notice whose pasture they went to. It says their pasture, their desires, what they desired to feed on. You know, in a sense, God had blessed them. He had brought them into the land. But then these blessings that they wanted to feed on is what they fed on. In fact, actually, these things they turned from God to feed on false gods. They went after their own desires. Really, if the children of Israel would have simply taken heed to what was said in the book of Deuteronomy, it would have saved them from much trouble. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, because I think it really helps shed a lot of light on this verse. It's a warning to us to watch out. Deuteronomy 32:15 says, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked." It says, "Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness." But notice the previous two verses, as we see how they are covered with fatness. It says, both 12, 13, and 14, "So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange god with him." All right, so the Lord alone is their leader. There's no strange god. "He made him," notice the blessings, "he made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the great." So here, the Lord alone did lead him, and there was blessings that came with the Lord's leading in their life. It says, "But Jeshurun waxed fat." All right, "Thou art waxen fat, and thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness." Then he what? "Forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." So he experienced this fatness, he experienced this blessing, and what did he do? Well, they left God's pastures and went to their own pastures. And they went after their own things. They were lifted up in their pride, thinking they could do it on their own. But it was God that led them through the wilderness. It was God that fed them in the wilderness. It was the Lord that provided them with all of these things. You know, we need to be careful that as God blesses us, we don't become lifted up thinking that it was something that we were responsible for. And then we begin to simply live for those temporal things instead of living for the one that provides us with those things. And they forsook God. They began feeding on their own pastures. They lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Notice verse 18. It says, "Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them, I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities." Notice, their vanities. "And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them, with a poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and tear within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs." Notice the result of feeding on their own pastures, of going after their own vanities. And you know, you read the next couple verses in this chapter. Notice what it says, end of verse 6. "Therefore have they" what? "Forgotten me." You know, what does it say here in Deuteronomy? What did they do? Verse 18, "Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast" what? "Forgotten God that formed thee." You know, are we mindful of the fact that every good thing that we have is from God? You know, are we becoming independent? You know, depending on ourselves, thinking we can make it through. You know, living for ourselves, living for our own vanities. Do we realize that God is the only one that can determine the right pasture for us to feed in? You know, we can go after our own vanities. We can go after our own pastures. We can fill our lives with the things that we think are going to satisfy, but they will only leave us empty. And, you know, we need to be very careful. You know, experiencing God's blessing is a wonderful privilege, but we must always keep in mind the one who gave us those blessings. And it must cause us to stay, it ought to cause us to stay close to His side. So we find, according to their pasture, so were they filled. It says they were filled and their what? Their heart was exalted. They were lifted up. Therefore have they forgotten me. In Psalm 106, it speaks of a time that Israel forgot God. If you could turn there, please. Psalm 106, verse 21. Notice what they did. It says, they forgot God their Savior, which had what? Which had done great things in Egypt. But notice some of the previous verses. Verse 13 says, they soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And He what? He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. You know, do you recognize tonight that God is the only one that can determine the right pasture for you to feed in? You know, God had given them manna, had given them exactly what they needed to sustain them through the wilderness. He enabled their shoes, the clothes on their back to last them through that time that they were going through the wilderness. Do we recognize God understands what we need? You know, we need to make sure that our desires are in line with His desires, or His desires are our desires. You know, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall what? He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Whose pasture are we delighting in? You know, different areas of our life. You know, what kind of music are we allowing into our lives? You know, Gordon Greer, when he would preach on music, one of the verses he would go to was this passage in Hosea. You know, what kind of music are you feeding on? You know, that's what you're going to be filled with. That's going to, you know, shape your desires. What are we satisfying our lives with? Do we recognize God is the only one that can determine the right pasture for us to feed on? You know, in Proverbs 39, it talks about, you know, Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9, it talks about, you know, the proverb of allowing, he didn't want too much prosperity, and it was, it said, lest, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and what? And deny thee and say, who is the Lord? You know, and that's what happened with Israel. They became full. They no longer hungered after the things of God, and they forgot the Lord. You know, may we never lose our hunger for the things of God. But the way that we can lose our hunger for the things of God is to what? Is to feed on something else and our stomachs become full and we have no room for anything else. You know, in Proverbs it says, the full soul loatheth and hungry soul, or loatheth and honeycomb. You know, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You know, are we hungry for the things of God, or have we filled our lives with something else that is taking the place of the things of God and is maybe taking away those hunger pains for the only things that can truly satisfy our lives? What are you feeding on this evening? You know, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I what? I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. God is the one that can determine the right pastures for us to feed in. You know, is it God that is leading your life? What are you feeding on? Is it leading you to dependence on God or independence from God? You know, if you remember back to Deuteronomy chapter 32, you know, what did it say was the one of the sins here that they had committed? It says, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is what? No faith. They had lost their dependence on God and were living in independence from Him. They had forgot God. They had forgotten God, their Maker. Then as we continue on in this passage, it says, they have their heart was exalted, therefore they've forgotten me. Therefore, I will be unto them as a lion. You know, before, what was God to them? Well, He was the great provider of their needs. He was their Savior. He was the deliverer in the time of trouble. But now it says, therefore, I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard, by the way, will I observe them. So we have the ferocity of the lion, and we have the stealth, or we have the quickness of the leopard. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. So you have a female bear, and you know, her cubs are taken away from her, and she is what? She is extremely ferocious at that time. You know, it's one thing to meet a bear, but it's another thing to meet a bear that her young ones have just been taken away from her. You know, and she's going to be mad. You know, we on the farm raising pigs, you know, you go in that pen, and you want to rile up that sow real fast, you know, just pick up one of those little piglets, and it starts screaming, and that sow's going to come after you. Watch out. And I remember one time, I think I might have been cleaning the pen or something, and there was a sow in there, and man, that sow came after me, and, you know, thankfully it didn't clamp down, but put its mouth right on my leg. And, you don't want to mess around with an animal that has piglets, or any animal that an animal has piglets, yeah, sow that has piglets, you know, an animal that has young ones. You know, you think of, it's just one of those natural instincts. You know, a chicken has her, a hen has her baby chicks around her. You know, and what does she do? Well, you know, there can be a 6 foot, you know, person, 7 foot person walking out there, and go out there and pick up one of those, you know, baby chicks, and that hen is, you know, going to come after them, depending upon the hen. But, you know, they're protective of their young. Well, it's one thing having a little, you know, chicken come after you, but it's another thing having a bear coming after you. And God uses that picture to describe the judgment that is going to come upon these people that had turned their backs on Him and had gone after their own vanities. You know, God is the only one that will determine our judgment. You know, God is the one that's going to determine the judgment that's going to come upon us. And here, God determines the judgment that is going to come upon the children of Israel. He says, I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, that, you know, that outside covering of the heart, the you know, if you want a fancy word tonight, the pericardium, you know, that outside covering. Read in one commentary, and it says, "And there will I devour them like a lion." That one of the things the lion's going to do is goes right for the heart. You know, God knows what is in our hearts, and it's going to be exposed. And here, he's going to go right after them, will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. Then notice what it says. It says, the wild beast shall tear them. You know, God was going to use, obviously, other nations to implement this judgment that was going to come upon his people. You know, they decided to turn from God, but God was the one that was determining the judgment that was going to come upon them. You know, if you're going to, you know, if you get pulled over by a policeman, imagine if that policeman was also the judge of that county. All right, so the very policeman that pulled you over was also going to be the very one that judged you. Well, if you're smart, you're going to be very wise in the way that you speak to that policeman, if he's also one that is going to be the judge. Now, normally, obviously, the policeman isn't the judge, but he could be there as a witness. And, you know, sometimes we need to realize the fact that God is our judge. He is the one that is going to determine the judgment that is going to come upon us. The children of Israel had become full, and now they were going to become a prey. Now they were going to be the ones that were hunted. You know, King Hezekiah allowed the what? Allowed the people from Babylon to come and see what was in his kingdom. And what did God say? The people of Babylon are going to come and take those things away from your land. Do we recognize tonight that God is the one that's going to determine our judgment? Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God of heaven. And here, God describes the fierceness, the quickness of this judgment that was going to come upon them. You know, and he starts off, in a sense, in a very positive manner. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. He was there. He was aiding them. But now they were going to experience the judgment of God because they had turned from the very one that was waiting there to aid them, to help them in their time of need. You know, tonight, what pasture are you in? What pasture are you filling your life on? Where are you gaining your satisfaction from? You know, your devotions. Are you feeding on the Word of God? You know, or is that manna of God's Word, you know, you've just gotten tired of it. And you want something else. And maybe you're crying out for flesh, just like the children of Israel cried out. And, you know, maybe God will give it to you. But that very thing that you want, God is withholding it from you, because he knows what is best for your life. And it's going to produce great sadness in your life. You know, by faith, do you realize tonight that it is God who knows what is best for you? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's nothing that you will lack as he leads you. You know, young person, are you just saying, man, I've got to have that music? You know, it's just going to satisfy me. You know, you think of these people getting involved in these things on the internet, thinking, boy, this person off in this other state or this person across the world, I mean, they're going to meet my need. And what do? They go after it, and it's their very destruction. And how fast, and that destruction can descend upon them very quickly. But our flesh is saying, that lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh are saying, we have to have it. You know, and many times it happens when? In our prosperity. And the same commentator said something to the effect that, or he might have been quoting somebody else, but how much harder it is to stay faithful to God in prosperity than it is to stay faithful to God when we are experiencing the trouble and turmoil of life. You know, tonight, do we recognize our great need not to feed in our pasture, but to go to God and to feed in His pasture? Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a very present help in the time of trouble. Lord, that You lead us into green pastures. And Lord, sometimes in order to go to the next green pasture that You are leading us to, Lord, it may require us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, to walk through that period of great turmoil. Lord, as we are reminded of this morning, Lord, that temptation, that time is temporal. May we not, Lord, get lost in the fact that, Lord, these things are simply leading us, Lord, to the next pasture that You have for us. Lord, may we not lose sight and begin to look on the other side of the fence and think things are better there. Lord, may You forgive us for the many times that we have forgotten You. Wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight,